talking about prophetic utterances, and so for Sarah to share a word, an encouraging word about the wisdom of stability, that's a good use, a good exercise of that discipline of prophetic utterances. And I invite you, as God speaks to you or through you, and you want to share on a Sunday morning, if it's for 10 seconds or even 10 minutes, testifying about how God is working in your life, or how you might want to share a God story, or how you might want to encourage one another in our coffee, or how you might want to share a God story, or how you might want to encourage one another in our congregation. Please, please, the new black. If 50 is the new 40. I was talking to a young mom this week, and she said, if having 3 children is the new 2, then is July 1st the new January 1st? It seems like for many of us, June has been a whirlwind. For our family, it's been weddings, graduations, celebrations, grand finales to lessons, final performances, PATs, report cards, reports. Sandy and I looking at each other saying, are we there yet? And echoing a strange and familiar yearning hearkening back to 6 months ago. July 1, for many of us, feels like Freedom Day. For students who are finishing school on Tuesday, June 29th, July 1 is Freedom Day. And so on July 1st, you may hear the echoes of Martin Luther King. From every mountaintop, let freedom ring. Galatians 5 is a chapter about freedom for the people of God. So as we stand on the verge of July 1st, for the people of God, so as we stand on the verge of July 1st, a time when many of us go into freedom mode, today let's pause to allow ourselves to wrestle with this text or to be shaped by this text from Galatians 5. Freedom for the people of God does not mean we do whatever we want. We hear that in the reading this morning. At the same time, God is not this cosmic killjoy wanting to hone in on your freedom by making you slaves to religious do's and don'ts. So what does it look like for us to walk anew in the ways of freedom? God's people follow the Jesus way, and when we truly be a freedom people. And so this morning, as we reflect on this text, I want to offer 4 exhortations for freedom people. Number 1 is freedom people start with the Christ life. Verse 1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. We need to get that order right. Christ has set us free. The context of Galatians is Paul the Apostle writing in 50 CE. He's writing to Christians in Galatia who had come to a saving faith in Christ Jesus, but apparently over the years had become distracted and convinced that they ought to take on religious rules for what it meant to be a Christ follower. So Paul reminds these young in the faith Christians to stand firm on the foundations of Christ's freedom. Christ has set us free. To do what? He quickly answers that in verse 13. He writes, for you, and it's interesting to read this section and to remember that when Paul writes you, the pronoun is actually a plural pronoun. So it's not just you individual, it's you all. So he writes, you all were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. So freedom is not about us as individuals, and as North Americans, we're well programmed into individual freedom. There's lots of voices saying that it's all about you. It's about your needs. It's about taking care of yourself. We're in love with ourselves because the world tells us to do that day after day after day. And we get up each morning and maybe we step on that treadmill of life every day. Things like, I'm not good enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not, you fill in the blank. And yet our sacred text, this word that breathes life into our human souls, the word that has power to be. And so it's not about individual focus. It's not about individual self-indulgence. It's this Christ life that is within us through the power of the Spirit and the love of the Father setting us free. Free to do what? The second point or exhortation is this. Freedom people submit to one another in love. Verse 13, but through love, Paul writes, become slaves to one another. In verse 14, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you've been around First Edmonton here the past 8 or 10 months, we've been trying to live out the radicals. Radical welcome, radical generosity, and radical submission. And my sense is that we can somewhat wrap our minds around radical welcome and radical generosity. But I think the place where we might get snagged is this invitation to radical submission. I think the hardest part of love is when love is called to submit. And so it's interesting to reflect on Paul's challenge, but through love, become slaves to one another. Become slaves. That sounds a lot like submission to me. And this isn't the kind of love for certain relationships. I've been at 2 weddings the past 2 weekends, and there's lots of talk about love. But this is love for the community of faith, the people of God, you, me, we together. And we're supposed to be a people who are transformed by this love and transformed by the living Christ. So if you turn back in a few chapters to Galatians 3, there's this infamous passage that talks about how life in Christ has radically transformed all the power structures of social relationships. And it was incorporated to our confession prayer today, where Paul writes in Galatians 3, for in Christ Jesus you're all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized, whether slave or free, there's no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. In Christ, the playing field has been leveled for the people of Christ Jesus. In Christ, the playing field has been leveled for the people of God. So Christ followers, where we don't hold grudges or power manipulations or bitterness and resentment against each other, instead, we walk this way of submission and humility, giving up for the sake of one another. Freedom people, called to submit to one another in love. But don't forget point number one. Christ has set us free. It's the Christ life power that empowers us to walk and live this way of submission to one another. So freedom people start with the Christ life. Secondly, freedom people start with the Christ life. Secondly, freedom people submit to one another in love. Thirdly, I want to say freedom people name the ways of the flesh and the ways of the Spirit. Verses 16 to 24 include some rich teaching on the ways of the flesh versus the ways of the Spirit. I don't want to get hardcore into the list this morning, but you might ask yourself as you reflect on the list, how do I know when I'm living the way of the Spirit versus the way of the flesh? Paul names 15 vices that he calls the way of the flesh versus the way of the Spirit. I hearken back to a teaching that my brother has used. He's a minister in Canmore, and he talks about the way of the flesh has used. He's a minister in Canmore, and he talks about the way of the flesh being really a mindset of the flesh. And he succinctly wraps it up as whenever we're obsessed or over-concerned with how we look, how we feel, or how we control, we are giving ourselves over to the mindset of the flesh. How do I look? How do I feel? How do I control? And not that we don't look or feel or control things in our life, but when we're obsessed or when we're over-concerned, when that's ruling the way we live, how do I look? How do I feel? I've seen it. I've lived it. I thought to an example of Sandy and I when we were first married. And I thought that as a husband and as a Christian husband, I was supposed to be the ultimate controller. And as a Christian husband, I was supposed to be the ultimate controller of our family's destiny. I felt like I needed to be the buck stops here spouse in our marriage. And I can remember a conversation with my brother, again the minister. I was just talking with him and sharing with him my feelings on this. And I was telling him all the reasons why a man needed to be the head of the marriage and lead strongly so that my wife could follow my lead. And my brother's gentle, he's such a loving brother. So have you reached this impasse in a decision where you had to lead out? And have you reached this impasse in a decision where you had to lead out and make the final? Never. But when that comes, gosh darn it, I'm going to be ready to be the buck stops here spouse in this relationship. We know control. It's not all about control. The way of the Spirit is not how do I control things. It's not how do I look that always looks good. It's not how do I feel so that I always feel right that always looks good in a relationship or a conversation. So as we let go of a relationship or a conversation, we embrace the way of the Spirit. And Paul names the way of the Spirit for us. And he calls this way of the Spirit a way of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a singular fruit, if you notice. It's not nine fruits. It's one fruit. So I call it the nine-lobed fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit that has all these dimensions. It's led by love. There's no law against this fruit. So freedom, people, let's not just name this fruit. Let's live it. As we enter the summer months, let's define ourselves as a people who do belong to Christ, who've crucified the ways of the flesh through the power of the Spirit and the Christ life that lives and moves through us. And may we be known as people in Edmonton, as a people who work with one another, as a people who live in families, a people who live in neighborhoods, a people who interact with strangers and the oppressed and the downtrodden, can we be known as a people of this fruit? They'll know we are Christians by our love, our joy, our peace, our patience, our kindness, our generosity, our faithfulness, our gentleness, our self-control. Now, as we move through the final parts of this sermon, I don't want you to get the impression that I think Christians always get this right. And whenever you read a Pauline teaching like Galatians 5 and walking in the way of the Spirit, remember there's other sections of Paul where he talks about the challenges of living life in the Spirit. So even as you're holding Galatians 5 in your right hand this week, I hope you'll hold a text like Romans 7 in your left hand. And you'll recognize that, yes, we're called to this way of the Spirit, but you'll also read Romans 7, and you'll read where Paul talks about being someone who feels compelled to do the right thing, but then struggles against this pull to do the other. Romans 7:21, he writes, "So I find it to be a law that when I do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind." Paul goes on to say, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" But he's not left hanging. He goes on to say, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I'm a slave to the law of sin." But don't stop at Romans 7, read Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So we hold this intention. This is a long obedience in the same direction. A life in the Spirit that comes when we try to live this way of the Spirit together in community as the people of God. Lastly, fourth point. Freedom people have a brain. And her name is Wisdom. Our final verse in Galatians is verse 25. If we live wisdom. Our final verse in Galatians is verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us all be guided. Paul exhorts us to be guided by the Spirit. And if we're going to press into this identity of being a freedom people, if we're going to start with the Christ life, if we're going to submit to each other out of love, if we're going to walk in the ways of the Spirit instead of the flesh, let's use our brains, okay? God has given us wisdom. And sometimes us Christ followers, for some reason, check out with our brains. And we get distracted by many things. So as we move through this text, as we try to embrace this way of freedom, as we try to be this freedom people, let's not forget wisdom. And several weeks ago, I talked about woman wisdom from Proverbs 8. And this might be a good time to reiterate wisdom. In Proverbs 8, verse 25, I'll just read a few verses. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I, wisdom, was brought forth. When he had not yet made the earth and the fields or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so the waters might not transgress, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him, always rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Wisdom is our mentor. Wisdom has been around since the beginning of time. So as we endeavor to be a freedom people, wisdom has been around since the beginning of time. So as we endeavor to be a freedom people, may God's wisdom guide us as we live out this freedom. I know you all don't feel comfortable about doing this on a Sunday morning, but look around you. I get to look at all of you. But maybe take a peek at the person beside you, person in front of you, maybe the person behind you. These are your freedom people. We're in this together as freedom people. We don't do this alone. Look at one another. These are your freedom people. These are your FPPs, your freedom people partners who live this life with you today, this week, this month. And so in a time of reflection, as we close and reflect and respond to God in prayer, maybe you'll respond to the voice of Christ, who is living this Christ life out through you. Maybe you'll reflect on what it might look like for you to live the way of submission, to be a slave to love to one another. Maybe you'll pray about what this long obedience in the same direction looks like as you pursue the way of the Spirit and move away from the ways of the flesh. And finally, I hope that you'll pray and recognize that you're not alone. You have a community of faith, you have friends, you have family members who want to be in this freedom journey with you. And believing that God, who lives in community, walks with us as well, with wisdom, with care, with grace. I'm going to give you a minute to pray and to begin a prayer that might continue through the week about being a freedom people. And then I'll close with a prayer from the Oxford Book of Common Prayer by Eric Milner White, centered on freedom. Let's pray together. Enter my heart, O Holy Spirit. Come in blessed mercy and set me free. Throw open, O Lord, the locked doors of my mind. Cleanse the chambers of my thoughts for thy dwelling. Light there the fires of thy own holy brightness in new understandings of truth. O Holy Spirit, very God, whose presence is liberty, grant me the perfect freedom to be thy servant today, tomorrow, evermore.